certainly is good to see you here. It's good to see Sister Delberta back. It's good to see you anywhere but a hospital or your bed, sister. I'll just be honest with you. It's good. It is good. So praising the Lord for that. Be in prayer, and we'll go over this a little bit later. Be in prayer for Mary. She's in the hospital right now, still having complications with the baby. If you noticed when you came in, there's a sign-up sheet to help out with some dinners. So what I'd like you to do is, again, I'll bring this up again later, but if you're interested in helping, sign up, and then Danielle's going to coordinate. All right? So just kind of have an idea as to how often or what you're okay with. She has a list of foods that the kids like, which, you know, not a picky group, not a picky group. So that'll be wonderful. But just put your name on that back sign-up sheet, and Sister Rowan will kind of coordinate things, let you know what's what, and formulate a plan with y'all. All right. With that said, we are on the letter W in our ABCs of Christian maturity, and we are on the letter W for witnessing. For witnessing, we talked last week about the necessity for us to have a burden for souls, a burden for souls. Now, the reason why that's so important is it's easy for us to get apathetic. It is. When we look at the world and what it's doing, it's easy for us to develop a us versus them mentality. When we look at our doctrines and it talks about how the Lord awakens the Spirit, it's easier for us to sit there and say, all right, well, there's nothing that I need to be doing with this because God is going to work this all out. No, the heart that we must have is that of a medic in wartime, rushing in and proclaiming the gospel and carrying out the sick and dying of this world. That ought to be our goal, our mission, our heart's desire, to love this world despite of the evil that's within them, despite of the horrible things that they have done, despite of the differences you may have for them. We need to have a love for the lost, and not just a love, but a burden. I want to make a difference for the cause of Christ. I want to see them saved. I want to see them turn from that lifestyle, come to the Lord, and serve Him. So along with that burden, right, if we're going to have the burden, we've got to have what we're going to start off with this morning, and that is a love. A love. Jude 21, please. Jude 21. We'll get us started. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. You know what? It is important for us to have devotions like the one that Brother Charlie just brought forward. We need to know the world we're in. We need to mark the behaviors and the attitude and the people that behave that way. But we need to have a love that goes so deep for them that it enables compassion. Compassion. I want us to remember each and every person that we meet, that phrase that Paul uttered when he said, and as such were some of you. Because there is no difference. What is the difference between one that goes forward and breaks laws and hurts their bodies and hurts others and steals and is all kinds of unreputable and a child of God sitting in a pew? The difference only is Christ. The only difference is Christ. Where you sit right now, the life that you have right now would have been drastically different had the Lord not saved you. That should, again, that should endear unto us a desire to show compassion to those that need it and not revulsion or disgust. Now, again, you know, we talked about this with our sermon with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the table with sinners and people getting upset by this. Well, why are you sitting next to these publicans and these sinners? Because that is who needs compassion. But again, if the Lord saw that they were gambling and they were drinking and they were doing awful things, He wouldn't have sat there, right? We're not talking about complacency. We're not talking about going along with sin or not paying attention to sin. No, I'm going to look at the sinner and I'm going to give them the gospel. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to have compassion for them. Why? Because that is the heart in which the Lord approached me. Did he not? I was in his eyes most filthy. I was in his eyes most disgusting because of my sin. But he did not put me down to raise himself up. What he did instead is he reached a hand down and forgave me. Right? So we need to have a love. However, that is not enough. 2 Timothy 2:21. A love and a burden is not enough to get you there. What did I say? 2 Timothy 2:21, right? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, listen, if I were to sell you, I show up at your door, and I'm going to sell you a vacuum cleaner. Better yet, I'm going to sell you a dishwasher. Right? I'm going to show you the dishwasher, and I set up this dishwasher, and I put some dishes in there. And the dishes that come out are filthy. You going to buy my dishwasher? No, you're going to say, sir, please get out of my house. Right? Sir, take your stuff and go. That clearly does not work. Right? If we're going to sit there and we're going to proclaim that Jesus Christ changes lives, you better be preaching that sermon from a changed life. Again, we see this modern religion where come as you are, stay as you are. However, that's not what God deems for us. That's not what God requires of us. What God requires of us is that we lay aside our sin. We lay aside the old lifestyle. We become a new creature. And in every aspect of our lives, we act like a new creature. You cannot, with sin on your lips, proclaim the gospel and be as effective as you think that you should be. You will fall short of the mark. People will look at you and they'll go, all right. Right? And you always see that in the debates. Well, I think abortion is wrong. Didn't you just cuss out the paper boy yesterday? Well, I mean, yeah, but he had it coming. He didn't do it right. Now, wait a minute. Why is that wrong? But your Bible also says that wrong. That's wrong. But you'll do that. But I'm wrong for doing this. That's exactly the conversations we have when we sin out of one hand and we proclaim the gospel out of the other. You can't do it. If what is wrong, it must be wrong in everything. Not just wrong because you agree with it, not just wrong because it fits the lifestyle you want, but wrong because God said so and we're going to push away from those things. You need a clean testimony. You need a good testimony. Don't talk about relying on God and putting faith in God when you're the first one to lose their mind over every stub toe, over every setback and problem. Oh, no, what are we going to do? They got this and that. Oh, no. Don't talk to strangers about faith if you're the first one to have a emotional breakdown over every little thing. Now, again, there's reasons for hurt. There's reasons for frustrations. I get that. But where's the faith that we're proclaiming? We must live the lifestyle through and through. And again, it's not for the sake of being a good advertisement that we live this way. It's because that's what God has commanded of us. If my love for God is what it is, there shouldn't be any debate in my heart over how I'm going to behave. Therefore, God can use that testimony, use that lifestyle to draw others towards Him. But if you're out there in sin and all of a sudden you want to get religious for a day, you're going to meet some opposition. But the heart that loves God and serves God and puts Him first, well, that heart gets open ears. That heart gets ears that yearn and thirst for what it is that you have. We ought to have a clean and separated life. We've all heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words, and indeed they do. Indeed they do. Right? If you're telling me that something is the absolute best, and yet on the other side, right? You're doing the complete opposite. I'm going to have a hard time hearing, believing you, right? I saw this and I kind of chuckled. Somebody was putting together I can't remember the exact brands that were there, but they were putting together a display for Milwaukee drills, right? Putting it together. You know what they were putting it together with? A DeWalt. We laugh. Well, okay, I got you. Hey, listen, you need to come to church, right? You need to live a righteous life. You ought to be coming to church. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't you just get a DUI yesterday? Why, I tell you what, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to work on Sunday because I tell you what, God comes first in my life. How many times you call out this week because you were drunk? You understand? Well, what we need is we need the love of God around here. You are the most contentious and argumentative person in this entire business. We can't do that. We can't serve God and mammon, and all you get riding a fence is some ripped pants. That's all you get. We must live a clean life, and not just a clean life. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We like to do a little thing called having the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need to have it. We need to have the Holy Spirit. He needs to be a strong influence in our lives. We let a lot of things influence us. We let a lot of things help us make our decisions. Some of us, we've got our favorite resources that we'll go to answer problems. We've got our favorite people that we'll call. Hey, you've got an expertise in this field. Let me give you a call. What do you think about this problem that's going on? Okay, thank you very much. We've all got those. The Holy Spirit needs to be what you rely on a regular day-to-day basis. Lord, what would you have me do here? Lord, how would you have me to act? We need to have a close sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, right? You know, I've got one kid, I'll call him. And I tell you what, it's almost like you didn't say a word. All right, come here. They'll run faster in the other direction. All right, it's Melody, it's okay. No. She'll have something she's not supposed to have, and typically it's something like this. She'll have a pen or something just like this. Melody, come here. No, and she just runs the other way, laughing at me as she runs. Some of us, that's the way we are with the Holy Spirit. Should I do this? Don't matter. Should I be talking like this? Doesn't matter. Hey, what about that verse? And we do. We push away. That is not having sensitivity. As a matter of fact, the scriptures refer to that as quenching the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that we do to quench the Holy Spirit. Not that we can limit God's power, but we refuse to participate in God's power in our lives. So, for instance, when you're not reading your Bible the way that you should, you are not. You're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit. You're no longer sensitive. Right? When you are not praying, You're not listening, you're not speaking to the Lord, that quenches the Spirit. When you're not focusing in on godly things, when you're not taking the Scripture and applying it to your life, those things quench the Holy Spirit's ability to do anything in your life. You're hardening your hearts. We must be sensitive to it. Because the Holy Spirit will sit there and he'll move you. He'll say, hey, you need to talk to this person. You need to be over here. You need to be given the gospel. This person right here could use a conversation. Hey, stop and help this person with their tire. Hey, come over here and see what's going on with them. Hey, this person over here, they need $5 to complete their sale. Take this food home to their kids. Why don't you go over and have a conversation with them real quick? Take care of this problem. The Holy Spirit will move you if you are listening, but so often we, like children, hear the call, but do nothing. All right, come on. Okay, be there in a minute. Don't you hate it when the kids do that? All right, take this trash out. We got to go. All right, well, I'm going to go dump all my toys out first. No, do this. All right, just a second. No, now. Not just a second. You have 1 second to get down here and get this done, right? That's how we do as parents. What we need to do is we need to listen. Be listening. One of the things I tell my kids, I go, if you hear me and you hear my voice elevated, you stop to make sure I'm not calling your name. You stop to make sure I'm not calling your name. Right? Because they'll get out there. They'll have fun. Man, my little buddy Gideon, he's taken to collecting all these toads in the backyard. And he's giving them names. He's got this one toad that's got 3 legs. He'll go out and he'll look for his little 3-legged toad. He gets so excited. While he's out there, he's running around and he's looking for movement because they're camouflaged. Gideon! Gideon! Son, you hear me. You stop and you make eye contact with me. And if I'm not calling you, you go back to what you're doing, okay? Okay, Dad. The Holy Spirit's calling out to you, and we're out here chasing toads. The Holy Spirit's trying to move you to prevent you from sin, to get you into work, to get you into service, all right, to get you to be where you need to be, to get a blessing from the Lord. And we're over here chasing stuff, and we know He's calling, but it's like, meh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. No, put a priority on the voice of the Lord. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just filled with the Holy Spirit, but sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Another thing that we are commanded to have is perseverance. Perseverance. Don't just give it once. Give it again. Bring up the conversation. Hey, remember when we talked about that? Yes, I remember when we talked about that. You think any more about it? Have you spent any more time? Those verses I gave you, did you read them? Want to talk about them? Hey, you know, I gave you those verses the other day, and I just wanted to bring up one more. I've got one more here. I completely forgot to make sure that you have it. I was reading it yesterday. You know how it happens. Like, you give some people some verses, and after a while, you keep hitting more verses that'd be good. So update them a little bit. I'd like to talk to you about them. You want to come to get some coffee? You want to go grab a soda? You want to have a lunch? You know, can we just talk a little bit about it? Persevere. And not just persevere with the person, but persevere with the whole process, right? Listen, hey, we already dropped off things in this neighborhood. We already talked to people in this neighborhood. Well, guess what? I ran out of neighborhood. So what are we going to do? We're going to start over again. We're going to hit the neighborhood again. What about the other neighborhoods? Yeah, those two. We're going to keep going. Yeah, but do you know how many doors were slammed? You know how many? We had this area over at Flat Rock. We called it the Catholic area. Every time you went over there, you knew that you were going to find a Catholic, and they were going to slam a door in your face. Not all of them. Some were nice. But now we go to the Catholic church. All right, have a good day. Bye-bye. Some would talk to you. Some would. But it seemed like every door, man. Every door. They got the Catholic discount in that neighborhood somehow. I don't know. But it just. So what do we do? Do we never go back there? No. We go back there. You know, we got some rough looking areas back there. It's muddy. It dirties my shoes, and my pants get all wet sometimes if it rained recently. And it's, you get mud up the side of my pants and get mud all in my shoes. So what do? Well, when I'm done, we go back, because we're told to persevere. We're told to persevere. Hey, remember, I was back here already. Would like to talk to you some more. Why? Because that is what we're called to do. There's nothing else for us really to do. Everything else is just gravy. Your job, your degree, your hobbies, your the things that you're building on the side, those are all great, but they are not the meat of your life. Those are the potatoes and the corn on the cob and the peas of life, right? The emotions are the seasons of life. But man, the meat of life is the Great Commission. And what are you going to do, go vegetarian? Not in life. So what must we do? We must follow some steps here, right? The first step, we call this the 4 steps to a soul-winning witness. 4 steps to giving the gospel. Number one, we know this from the Great Commission, is go. Go. Go where? Do I got to go to Timbuktu? Do I got to go down to Mexico? Well, if that's where the Lord is calling you, yes, that is where you should go. However, we've got this great area right here, and you've got some great friends and some great neighbors and some great family members that you could give the gospel to. Go give them the gospel. Well, there's that person right across the street. I wave at him. I never said hi to him. Guess what? Go say hi to them. invite them to your church. Tell them to come on in. There's that guy that runs the Papa Sam's down there. I tell you what, I will not rest until I see him walk through those doors. That's my attitude. That's my heart. I want to see a soul saved. You see that guy over here and this person over there, and there's the person on the corner in the street. You know, there's a lady in our street. Every time I come around that corner, seems like she's out there edging her yard. I don't know what she's digging for, but she's digging good. She's just edging around, always out there in the yard. Hey, how you doing? Like to talk to him when I'm out there. Folks, we need to go. Go next door, go down the street, go on the phone, go wherever it is. You've got to go to give the gospel. Psalm 126, verse 6. Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I tell you what, if we believe that there is an elect out there, you better believe that if you go out there, you're going to run into them. But you're not going to find them. Well, I tell you what, you might, but you're going to have a hard time finding them in your pew. You'd be better catching fish in your bathtub. You got to go. You got to go. Yes, there will be people that walk through those doors. And yes, I pray that through the preaching of the word, the Lord saves them. But it is more likely that we're going to get people to walk through those doors because you invited them than for them being bored and seeing us here. Now, I've been here for almost 2 years now. We did have that once, and it shocked me, and I loved it. Oh, yeah, we just moved in right across the street. We saw you guys over there, thought we'd come try you. Haven't heard anything from them since, but it sure was nice. Sure was nice, right? That's not a everyday occurrence, is it? You got to go get them. Got to go get them. Got to go take the gospel to them, because we're not exactly putting in a drive-thru here. We're not exactly selling it with a side of fries here. They're not going to come looking for us. We've got to take it to them. And no doubt if we go, eventually we will find. Eventually we will find. Don't you want to find? Don't you want to give the gospel, see some soul saved? I know I do. I love to see it. I want to see it some more. I tell you, if I could see it every day, twice a day, three times a day, what a happy man that would make me. Not that I'm not happy now, but you get what I'm saying there. So how? How can I go? Well, when we get together to go together to lay out these things, if ever you're bored, give me a call. I'm always ready to go do those. I love stopping off in a neighborhood, throwing those door knockers off. I still have the goal that by the end of the year, we're going to be out of door knockers. We're going to be ready to order some more door knockers. And not just that, I don't want to just put door knockers on the door. I want to knock on some doors. I love it when the door is open. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. You don't want me to come to your house. You better keep your door open, keep the TV off, because I'm, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, we're right up here. You know how often I've talked to people, they've acted like they never even seen us? Now, either they're acting or they're telling the truth. Either way, I'm so glad that I can dispel that we're there and we've been there for quite some time. And we're still there. I talked to somebody one time. Oh, I didn't know that church was still meeting. Well, we are. Come on. We'd love to show you how we meet. I'd love to show you. Yeah, but I don't get into some of that modern stuff. You know what? Neither do we. Come on. I'm the most modern thing you'll find at our church. Just don't. Come on in. Come on in. Right? So we do this as we can do that together as a church. You can do that as you speak to people. You could do that at the grocery store. Do that among your friends and family. I tell you what, there is never bad ground to go. Right? And I would even say this, make a list. Have a list of people that you've given the gospel to. Have a list of people that need to be saved, and make that your priority. Make that your priority. Because I'll tell you right now what causes churches to grow. Well, let's do this. I know it's Sunday school, so this is okay. Raise your hand if the reason why you came here is because a church member invited you. That's a huge number, folks. Raise your hand if you're here because you were looking for a church that believed this way and you found it. You see, the majority's on the other foot. It happens both ways. That's not denied. I'm not saying one is more valuable than the other. We've got a wonderful website that drives a lot of traffic, and a lot of people come to our website looking for something in particular. And we spell out exactly who we are on it. I think it's $15 a month now because we added a little bit more to it. So $15 a month is what we spend to keep the website going. That is nothing for the amount of sermons that we've got stored on there. I mean, we've got volumes of messages stretching way back to our foundation on that website. That's not going anywhere. But the majority of folks that walk through those doors are going to be because you brought them. We've got what's there for the people who are looking for something specific. And I promise, for as long as it is in our power to do, it ain't going nowhere. But we need to be able to bring people in. Have a list. Who am I giving the gospel to? Who am I talking to? Pray for the people on that list. Have a plan on how you're going to approach that. Now again, don't fall into those sales gimmicky tactics. Right, I know all about sales and how it works, and we need to be done here where we're like, all right, so I'm going to hit them with this, and then I'm going to keep irritating them. No, have a real conversation with them. Speak to them as a friend, right? Hey, listen, we spoke on this last week instead of, hey, I want to give you the gospel again. Hey, let me tell you this. Hey, let me tell you that. Bring the conversation up, but you know what I'm talking about, but make it natural. Have a natural conversation with them. Some people I hear when they give the gospel, especially if they're persevering in giving the gospel, they make it super awkward. Don't give them a sales pitch. You ain't selling ointments or oils or candles or candy bars for your kids' fundraiser, right? You're talking to them about their souls. And there's nothing more intimate than that, nothing more friendly than that, right? So make it real. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father.